The Placing You First podcast begins in less than 20 seconds.
Visit crcgroup.com to subscribe, download our award-winning tools and intel articles that help you stay aware of emerging issues and trends, or get a snapshot of the insurance marketplace with our industry-leading Ready Indexes. You'll find it all on crcgroup.com under Tools and Intel.
Property state of the market for the Northeast. Today we check in with one of our specialists from the Northeastern United States, from New York, to find out what's going on with rates, limits, capacity, specifically in property. It's here next on the CRC Group podcast. This is the Placing You First podcast. I'm Dan Wentz, and this podcast features news and insights from CRC's vast knowledge base of 2,000 plus associates who write in excess of $10 billion of premium annually. And we're giving you insider access to what's happening in our company and the types of insurance we place.
This is the Placing You First podcast.
We're joined today by Stephen Brennan, who is a senior broker from our New York office, and we're talking a little bit about property coverages in the Northeast and the state of the market, what's going on right now on the East Coast, Northeast area. So, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Dan, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity to participate in CRC's award-winning Best of Show podcast.
I like it. You're already trying to score some points there. It's good stuff. But hey, if it's fact, I mean, you can't deny it, right? So Stephen, tell us what's going on. What is your view of the current state of the market where you're currently operating there in the Northeast? What's going on with rates, capacity, limits, all that good stuff?
Okay, well, I've been in the insurance business for 17 years, 14 years at Swett & Crawford, and then subsequently CRC through that acquisition. And I've never seen a market environment like we're currently trading in. Deal flow volume is up significantly, more so than any other year that I've ever worked in. Part of the reason for that is the rate increases that are being delivered to clients. We need to make sure that we're vetting that out as thoroughly as possible. It's not uncommon to have a three or four different placement strategies going on in the marketplace at the same time, trying to develop the most cost effective program for our buyers. The increased submission volume into the marketplace provides underwriters with significant flexibility around their risk selection, and in order to make sure that our submissions are getting to the top of the pile and our buyers are getting the attention they need, submission quality and data quality is of utmost importance. Appetites are changing monthly, and as carriers attempt to return their books to profitability, as they say. Generally speaking, I'd characterize the current property market as a hardening market, with underwriters pushing rate, pulling back sublimits, and tightening policy wordings that become very broad over the prolonged soft market, most notably in the non-physical damage, business interruption extensions. Rates for soft occupancy business, like general real estate, office, retail, are typically landing in the 10 to 20% up range, depending on the deal and how aggressive the program was priced in years prior. More difficult occupancies such as woodworking and food and recycling are still challenged programs to complete, sometimes at any price. And accounts with loss activity are seeing 30% plus from a rate lift perspective. But by and large, for the most accounts, there's ample capacity at some price in the marketplace for insureds to be able to purchase the limits they need to sleep at night and to fulfill their loan covenants. The industry in general is reeling from a number of challenges that have taken place over the last 3 years. The storms of 17 and 18 are really just the beginning. CAT activity in 2020 is at an all-time high. We've seen 30 named storms when the industry average per year is between 12 and 13. Over 9,000 wildfire events that equates to over 4 million acres burned. 2020 is going to end up being the from a wildfire perspective, the third most costly wildfire season that we've seen on record. We also had a small $5 billion plus El Derecho severe convective storm event that ripped through the Midwest. That's gotten little press, but it's also a major CAT event. And And these are just the events in the United States. The carriers we trade with are global carriers. Their insurance partners are global reinsurance partners, and they're impacted by losses all across the world. Markets also still try to understand the extent of the civil unrest claims that occurred over the last 12 months that really no one was prepared for. And the attritional water damage losses in the real estate space, most specifically the hospitality space, continue to mount as buildings as buildings age over time. And historically, this asset class has always carried a very low AOP deductible. Building values being underreported has come into laser focus as carriers providing blanket limit policies are seeing in real time through the CAT events that reconstruction costs are at times significantly higher than the values being reported but on statement of values and being used for premium generation. For that reason, we're seeing a number of markets institute a schedule limit provision in order to participate on risk, often called the occurrence limit of liability clause 2B. And the uncertainty around pandemic losses and where that's going to land is still up in the air as these losses are being litigated. And it's unclear if reinsurance protection exists for this type of loss. And in the backdrop of all of that, the global economy is challenged from a low income investment income environment, which is forcing carriers into a position in which underwriting profitability is a must to survive, and they can no longer operate at 100% combined ratio, depending on investment rate uplift to kind of offset some of their underwriting loss.
So you mentioned in there COVID, it's a little too early to figure out what that's going to look like, right? You're probably seeing the communicable disease stuff, but besides that,
so hopefully we're in the final stretch of COVID-19 here. Now the vaccines will shortly be available to the general public. But from an operational perspective, I think the industry performed pretty well. Most insurance companies and insurance brokerages had some element of remote working already in place prior to the pandemic. So other than maybe some bandwidth issues in the beginning, I think the industry did pretty well. While face-to-face meetings are always our preferred method of communication, the virtual platforms did do a pretty good job of keeping lines of communication open between insureds, retail brokers, wholesale brokers, and the E&S underwriter community. Like I said before, there's still a lot of uncertainty around the magnitude of the industry impact here from this event. And as we record this, there's litigation ongoing, so it's unclear on how where all that's going to land. But like as you said, the obvious impacts of COVID are exclusionary wordings around virus, contagious disease sublimits being removed, underwriters, thoroughly reviewing and scrutinizing policy forms relative to non-physical damage loss triggers around business income. We've seen a fair amount of insurance companies kind of shying away from certain asset classes that they feel are more heavily impacted by COVID, such as the hotel asset class. It's actually taken a double whammy, right? Their investment income is down, coupled with their insurance premiums are going up and that marketplace tightening. So we're seeing certain carriers institute some vacancy wordings around warranties that building owners are maintaining security at buildings that are becoming partially occupied or unoccupied. And, if those warranties aren't fulfilled, then some type of a deductible change could apply or certain perils may be excluded. And I guess the last comment around COVID-19 would be we've seen a number of delayed construction projects due to the COVID shutdowns. And that's created some hurdles in terms of securing extensions for these projects. At times we've had to get real creative to come up with a solution using both fixed property markets and inland marine markets in order to provide extensions on projects where maybe the carrier who wrote that project originally 2 years ago is no longer offering the same terms, conditions, or product.
You covered a lot of ground in your first response there, but was there anything we missed in the Northeast that you wanted to talk about specific to your area?
Sure. There really aren't any specific trends that we're seeing in the Northeast. We've seen consistent rate lift over the last 18 to 24 months over all geographies and all asset classes. Carriers are definitely taking a little bit more of a conservative approach to line size deployment in large metro areas, such as New York City, when it comes to, specifically the retail asset class due to some of the strikes, riots, and civil commotion losses that they've experienced over the last 12 months. But in general, the Northeast is reeling from the same pain as the rest of the country when it comes to the likes of the standard markets, non-renewing accounts that they wrote 100% ground up at some, you know, sub 10 cent rate, which now has to come into the shared and layered space. And in order to complete the limits they had on expiring, it could take 10, 15 carriers and multiples of the expiring rate to be able to deliver the same limits to the client at renewal. One comment around flood surge, that's always been an issue post Sandy, but I don't really see any significant changes there except for the general rate push that, you know, the oil accounts are experiencing right now. The flood sticker shock for most of those buyers occurred, you know, in 2012 and 2013 when, you know, post Superstorm Sandy. The monoline terrorism market in the Northeast seems to be pretty unchanged and stable. There's a lot of capacity there. It's still actually a competitive market. And the only real change that I've seen relative to Northeast business is there are certain carriers that are instituting higher percentage name windstorm deductibles in some of the coastal counties of New York, New Jersey, and New England.
I mean, you talked about cat property, flood, habitational a little bit. Builders, is there anything we need to break out there?
Specific to the habitational space, I'll break that down into, you know, the smaller TIVs and then the larger accounts. From a smaller account perspective, there's still plenty of options out there from your traditional risk transfer with an insurance company, as well as some of the, you know, shared limit RPG programs that are out there. The rate lift there is similar to the general market rate lift. Most of the historical companies that were writing the smaller 250 million and below TIVs for HAB are still writing that class of business today. There may be some geographical pockets that are a little bit more challenging than others, specifically, you know, north coastal Texas and some of the other hail convective storm exposure states are challenged right now. But by and large, there's ample capacity to service this asset class. On the larger end, it's a little bit different, a little bit of a different story. You know, the habitational space has been a state of correction since shortly after the 2017 storms, when the likes of London and some of the other standard markets kind of pulled out of the primary frame apartment space for large accounts. Today, the capacity there is still a struggle to secure at a competitive price, with only a select few carriers willing to even participate on the primary on a multi-billion dollar, you know, frame apartment complex, frame apartment schedule. Deductibles are up for various reasons in the large account space, some to reduce cost, others to improve loss record. And some markets just simply won't even have a conversation unless your AOP deductible is at $100,000 or more. The buffer space in as respects frame apartments is a little bit more challenged now than it was in the past. Historically, there was ample capacity to find someone to support, excess of 1 million or excess of 2.5 or excess of 5. And a number of those carriers now want to sit excess of a higher attachment point. So this short low buffer space is kind of a challenged layer to complete. And the only other thing relative to habitational, and this is both for the smaller and the larger, is underwriters are really hyper focused on valuation. And you know, they're willing to decline a risk if they perceive the valuation as inadequate.
How's flood looking?
So the flood space is pretty much business as usual. Capacity for high hazard flood kind of remains the same as it has for the past few years. From my desk, I don't see any drastic changes to these programs other than the general market rate lift that everybody's experiencing. But there's a little bit more capacity, I would say, in the NFIP replacement flood space. As that's been a hot space over the years, and there's a, you know, MGAs kind of dominating this product. Only other comment I'd like to make about the high hazard flood is that there's more opportunities that are flowing into the wholesale market space to complement the direct all risk markets, as some of them are trimming down their special flood hazard sublimits, and there's ample capacity in the wholesale space to backfill those sublimits to get the insured to the limits that they needed on expiring.
Builders risk.
Builders risk, touch upon builders risk for a second. Our team sees a fair amount of ground up frame projects as well as renovation deals, mostly frame and joisted masonry, and a fair amount of them are in the Northeast. From what I can tell, there's still ample capacity from the retail direct space for the superior construction, non-cat exposed type builder's risk project. But the frame market's pretty tight right now. I count on the number of hand, the number of major quota share players that are going to entertain, a large one amount subject frame builder's risk project. Rates have steadily been rising in that space. And, as the demand is high and supply is pretty limited. And in order to engage the entire marketplace, insureds really need to demonstrate superior risk management around security, site security, whether that's surveillance systems, 24-hour watchmen, or, lighting and fencing, to be able to engage the entire wholesale, the entire marketplace to support these deals. Contractors with prior losses are having a difficult time right now, as it takes the entire marketplace to complete these programs, and having a major fire loss on your records, it really leaves a bad taste in underwriters' mouths. And then, some of the projects have been delayed due to COVID or other reasons, and extensions at times can be problematic. As carriers, appetites are changing pretty rapidly right now, and some just don't have the reinsurance support to extend the project term that's required to finish the project. Others have commented, some have commented that they're seeing an uptick in losses at that very end of the project during that extension term, which is also, we've seen carriers institute deductible changes and terms and conditions changes in order to secure that extension. You mentioned manufacturing.
Yeah. What's going on with manufacturing right now?
We're seeing a significant amount of submission volume in the manufacturing space hitting the shared and layered world as the retail markets continue to de-risk their portfolios. These accounts are probably the most challenged in the industry right now. Many times, they were placed 100% with one carrier on a ground up basis. And in order to mirror the expiring limits, it can take 10 to 30 markets to build the required limits at multiples of what the insured's been used to paying. We're seeing insureds purchase significantly increased deductibles this year to manage costs, as well as purchasing lower loss limits. And some buyers are even willing to self-insure parts of their program along the insurance companies, just to mitigate the overall premium spend. A number of accounts in the manufacturing space may have been locked up on 2 or 3 year rate agreement deals, which those deals are a horror story trying to place them in today's market, because today's rating environment is nowhere near where they were, 3 years ago. While capacity for manufacturing in the wholesale market is kind of similar to the retail market, where many wholesale underwriters are shying away from more high hazard type occupancies. So the capacity in this space is tighter now than it's ever been, as the wholesale markets reshape their appetite relative to manufacturing. But it's not all bad, right?
It's not all bad.
From what I read, we have some new capacity positioned to enter the market in 2021. Yeah. It looks like, we have at least 6 new startups in the class of 2020 that are racing to get in the mix as soon as possible, Q1 2021, as well as some new MGAs that are trying to build capacity to launch in 2021 as well. Some of these markets have actually started writing business this year and are helping us fill holes on some pretty challenged, large shared and layered placements. There's definitely more capacity being deployed out of Bermuda that's providing a pretty good solution and some pretty chunky excess limits on all classes of business. And many of the Lloyd's syndicates have secured approval to increase their writings in 2021. Most recently, I saw in the news Chubb and Munich Re are looking to grow in a pretty substantial way next year. Now, the impact of all this new capital is yet to be seen, but I suspect it'll be welcome as traditional carriers continue to de-risk and re-underwrite their portfolios to alleviate their historical legacy issues.
Yeah, so things are changing quickly, right? I mean, that's basically what's going on. You do this podcast in another month or two, it's going to sound completely different, isn't it?
Seriously.
Maybe not completely, but it'll be different. So that's great.
In this changing marketplace, right, having a wholesale partner that's covering all bases, your traditional capacity, your London, Bermuda, Asia reinsurance is absolutely critical. And CRC's proprietary Ready system ensures that, our brokers are not leaving any stone unturned. The Ready software, already ingrained into our broker's workflow, helps every CRC broker to thoroughly canvas the market, providing each brokerage team with real-time data as respects to what carrier is writing what class of business and how to access that carrier. Ready leverages the data across the entire CRC book of business in real time. So a CRC broker anywhere in the United States has up to the minute market intel from geographies all across the US right at his fingertips, his or her fingertips. In addition to our proprietary market intelligence Ready platform, partnering with CRC provides retail brokers with exclusive access to CRC's proprietary suite of InsurRisk products. From a property perspective, InsurRisk, their underwriting capabilities are helping our retail brokers place some of the smaller ground up CAT-driven placements, as well as filling holes on some pretty large, you know, shared and layered challenge placements. And in addition to Ready and InsurRisk, our team of CAT modeling experts are helping our clients and our, you know, brokers internally better understand our buyers through the use of our AIR and RMS vendor platforms. These vendor modeling reports, you know, help our brokers identify the, you know, the key sensitive CAT data modeling points to better structure and shape a custom-built insurance program for our customers. While the market environment's challenging, I believe that the technology and resources, the expertise and hustle that CRC brokers deliver to our clients on a daily basis generate the absolute best result market will bear. And I look forward to the challenges ahead in 2021.
Yeah, Stephen, you missed the most important resource, which is you and the brokers like you across the country. I mean, without you guys, nothing would get done. But we do have all that technology to support you guys, which is great. I mean, I know I'm impressed, man, that you've just got it figured out right now. So that's awesome. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. And of course, if you're in the New York area, you want to work with Stephen, it's pretty simple to hook up with him. You can just visit our website, crcgroup.com, and search out Stephen Brennan, the New York office. And of course, we've got brokers all across the country who are sharing information, you know, just like Stephen. So if you're listening from another part of the world and you want to find a broker, you want to look someone up, that website is a great resource to do that. Stephen, man, great update. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on the property market there in the Northeast.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks so much, Dan.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level?
Join Team CRC to gain access to best-in-class tools, data, exclusive programs, and more. Send your resume to resumes@crcgroup.com and read testimonials from our recent hires on LinkedIn. Search for CRC.